Welcome to show number 33 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by SportsCardRadio.com. What is up, everybody? Hopefully everybody is doing well out there. Another edition of the Sports Card Show. Remember, you can always send us an email at SportsCardShow@gmail.com and check out our website, SportsCardRadio.com. There's lots of things there. The fan forum is probably my favorite. So if you're not signed up and registered there, you'll want to head on over there and check that out. In terms of today's show, got a lot on tap for today. We've got an upper deck versus top court update. Yes, a couple weeks ago we talked about their battles in the courtroom, and that case is settled, so we'll have an update there for you guys. We have some sports card shows or conventions that are happening this summer. Always a good time to check those out. And there's two fairly large ones kind of in the middle part of the United States. So if you're in that area, might be worth checking out. We've got a little bit of other news, some hot young minor league baseball players that you may or may not have heard of by now. Among other things, show number 33, we'll be talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Larry Bird, two of the best scorers and two of the best competitors all time in the NBA, and they both wore number 33. And we'll be talking about allocated product that has to do with, Topps and Upper Deck and some of these other companies occasionally allocate their product to the consumer or to the distributor, to the wholesaler, and we'll be talking about all that. But let's just break it right off into the news for the day. Upper Deck versus Topps in the courtroom. There has been a decision, and the judgment goes in favor of Topps. Topps was suing Upper Deck for infringing on some of their card designs that Topps used in the mid-70s. And Upper Deck apparently copied these designs, or the designs were far too similar in Topps' opinion. And the judgment went in favor of Topps, so Upper Deck is going to have to sell their remaining inventory but cease production of three different sets: 2009 Series 1 and 2 baseball, 2009 Opeachy baseball, and 08-09 Opeachy hockey. So those sets made by Upper Deck, they're going to have to sell the remaining inventory, and that's it. No more production on the cards. And this has to be done by July 16th. So what does this mean to you? First of all, if Upper Deck, and it's, I'm sure if you dig into the court documents, you may or may not be able to figure this out, but Upper Deck, if they have more of these cards to produce, it means they're not going to produce. It means these sets are going to be far limited to what they originally were designed to be. These sets, although obviously I don't have any print numbers in front of me, but Series 1 and 2 baseball, Opeachy baseball, and Opeachy hockey, these are massively produced products that are designed to drive products from a cheaper product where they produce lots of cards. So whether or not Upper Deck has made all these cards, I have no idea. I'm not privy to their manufacturer, whether they blow, if they're making 10,000 cases, I doubt they make them all at once. But what percentage do they make it and along the lines is all very difficult. And I'm sure if you dug into court documents or knew a little bit more about the industry on the inside, you may or may not be able to figure it out. But what it also means is redemption cards. Who knows about these redemption cards? I'm not sure if ceasing productions means if you have a card that you were going to stick a sticker autograph or even have the player sign himself, if you don't get that autograph on there before July 16th, is that considered manufacturing the card? It could be, or putting a jersey piece in a card that's already made but doesn't have the jersey piece slabbed into the middle of it. I don't know. These are all things that a lawyer and somebody more familiar with the case would probably be able to find out. But I'm sure there's people inside the hobby or serious collectors probably think that these might be slightly more limited than other sets that Upper Deck produces in these mass quantities. So we'll see how it all shakes out. But July 16th, in a few weeks, Upper Deck is going to have to just sell the remaining inventory and not produce any more of these cards. So it'll be interesting to find out how they handle redemptions and things like that that come out of these products. Other bits of news coming out of the Upper Deck camp. If you want to basically refinance your house or sell it and move into a much smaller place so you can afford a Tiger Woods tournament worn 2008 Torrey Pines U.S. Open full shirt. These are polo shirts the man Tiger Woods wore in rounds 1, 2, and 3. Obviously, there was a fourth round, and there was actually a fifth round. It was the playoff on Monday with Rocco Mediate, which Tiger Woods won. I guess the fourth round, I don't know, maybe that's in Tiger's personal collection or somebody from Upper Deck got their hands on that, or maybe the playoff shirt as well. But you can have rounds 1, 2, and 3. Rounds 1 costs you $30,000. Round 2 will cost you $40,000. And round 3 will cost you $50,000. So maybe in rounds 2 and 3 he wore better Nike quality shirts than in round 1. But there's a $10,000 difference between each of them. You're looking at $120,000 if you wanted all three. Now, that's a lot of money, but it's not that much money to actually a good amount of people, $120,000 for something that cool. Tiger Woods definitely autographed all three, and I think there was some personal special inscription. He wrote something, either his score that he shot or something, other than just his autograph is on there. Very cool pieces. I guess Upper Deck, maybe the only reason why I see them doing something like this is they didn't want to break these down into products, because it seems to me if you have three tournament-worn shirts, this would be a pretty cool insert set that you could pimp. But they're looking to maybe just cash out for the $120K instead of having to go through the whole process of making cards. Or, you know, golf cards aren't exactly the most collectible things in the world, but that may change or it may not. But Tiger Woods collectibles obviously fetch a huge sum, at least Upper Deck is hoping they will. That about wraps it up for this first segment. We'll cut it short. When we come back, we'll run down some hot prospects that are doing fairly well in the minor league ranks, and we'll talk about them after this. Turn it up. About some minor league baseball prospects. Always a good time about halfway through to kind of check the stats. You get a good amount of games and a good kind of prospect on what maybe you can project this guy out till the rest of the year. Always like going through the stats, see who's playing well. I tend to ignore, it might be a flaw, but I tend to ignore the players that are maybe 25-ish, 26-ish and above. Not necessarily that they're not going to get their chance in the MLB. They certainly could. But the upside potential for a guy maybe playing somewhat similarly, if that's a word, and he's maybe like 22, 23, or even younger, he's going to maybe get that one extra year to develop in the minor leagues, or maybe the team isn't doing so well or they have a spot for him. And he'll get that call up, and he's a young guy. He's still going to be really fresh. Whereas if you kind of sit in the minors for 4 or 5 years, it does do a little bit to your card values. And it obviously is taking years off your major league career, which may or may not happen. So I tend to look at the younger guys, and two that jump off the page at me. Austin Jackson, fairly known prospect if you're kind of into prospecting in general, but someone that is playing spectacular baseball, at least halfway through for the Yankees AAA ball club. He's batting .320 in 72 games with 88 hits, so that's sensational. Obviously, more, at least one hit a game on average. 25 walks and 74 strikeouts, not a good ratio at all. 72 games, he struck out 74 times. So, but it does look like he does get a hit. So he's going to get a hit for you, and he is going to strike out. But the 74 Ks in 72 games does not project well out to the major leagues. A .829 on-base percentage, so he's looking pretty good there. Not too bad. He's 22 years old. That's what I like. He's center field. Obviously, in the Yankees organization, you're flooded with big-priced, big-name free agents, so he's not necessarily going to have room to get a call-up, but only 22 years old, so if he happens to sit in the Yankees AAA this year, not too bad. He has a couple cards of note. 07 Donruss Elite is considered maybe his XRC or his original rookie. It's numbered out of 794. Autographed, obviously trades in the $37 range. One sold exactly at $37 for 11 bids June 30th of this year, a couple weeks ago. So not a bad price, $37. Some of those cards are worth quite a bit of money. So $37 for a player on a big name team, and we've gone over this plenty of time, a team like the Yankees, the Cubs, the Red Sox, and baseball, those are A1 personality teams because they have tons and tons of fans, not only in their area, but across the U.S. and across the world, especially the Yankees. They're right up there with the Lakers and the Dallas Cowboys in terms of most popular teams in their sport. So I like that. I like that he's only 22, and he can hit the ball. Needs to work on his strikeouts. Another rookie you can get, rookie in parentheses, is Bowman Chrome. His common ones, so if you don't have $37, which I don't blame you, but his common rookies go for $1 to $1.75. Obviously, your upside potential, these aren't going to be $30 cards unless he's just, you know, doing some Mark McGwire stuff. But he's if he makes it to the major league and plays well, especially if he plays like this, has these kind of numbers, you're looking at a $2 card. You're looking at maybe a $2.50 card. So there is a little bit of potential there, especially if you get him right at there, right around a dollar. I would consider that extremely well bought. Again, that's 08 Bowman Chrome, and that's his rookie with parentheses, considering he had 07 release. Another guy I kind of like, similar numbers, probably a little bit better, although he's in AA, plays for the Phillies organization. He's a left fielder. Michael Taylor, another guy I've heard of, at least through the grapevine, over the last season or two. He's 23 years old, a year older than our boy Austin. I think Austin turns 23 in December, so he's going to be turning 23 this year. I believe Michael Taylor, although I don't know for certain, I believe he's already turned 23 this year, earlier this year. He's batting .348, sensational. In 73 games, that's 94 hits in 73 games. That's fantastic numbers. 14 home runs, a little bit of pop here halfway through, so you can project him out to be maybe mid-20s and even possibly 30s for home runs in a season, minor leagues, double A. That's pretty good. 26 walks and 43 strikeouts. Again, 73 games and only 43 strikeouts. That projects fairly well to the major leagues, and he has a 1.009 OPS, so it means he's getting on base, and he's hitting for a little bit of pop. Obviously, 26 walks, he could probably improve on that just a little bit, but batting .348 with almost 100 hits halfway through the season, absolutely spectacular. I'm not really sure what's going on with the Phillies in terms of their outfield situation, but if he keeps playing like this, he'll get the call-up possibly to AAA. 14 home runs, that's really good. His 07 Bowman Chrome is one of his first rookies. Those in their common form are similar to Austin Jackson's. They're in the $1.50 to $2 range. Definitely if you can get it for around $1.50 or less. Pretty decent buy. Again, these aren't going to be $10 cards, not even $20. You're looking at maybe a $5 max on these. If the guy's playing spectacular, you're looking at common Bowman Chrome rookies rarely trade on a regular basis for more than $5 to $6. And usually he has to be playing fantastic for that to happen, just because there's a ton of these produced. These are really common cards. You're going to get one per box or more on most cases. So not necessarily the most rare thing, but readily affordable, especially for people on a tight budget or for young kids that aren't making the big bucks until they graduate college. Donruss Elite, Prime Cuts, they have autographs. This is an 08, so these may or may not be considered rookies with parentheses around them, might not be considered a rookie at all. But these trade for $20 to $30, so there are collectors out there. $20 to $30, probably not a bad price, especially Adonris Elite Prime. Both great, great sets. So not a bad pickup. Definitely those could be, you know, $40, $50 cards. If his common Bowman Chrome is trading in the $3 to $5 range, his autograph is going to be trading in probably the $50 to $60 range, just as a guess. But those are two that I have on my radar, and we'll keep an eye on them. Guys that we have shouted out on the past have done quite well. This is no testament to Austin Jackson or Michael Taylor, but Pablo Sandoval was mentioned on this show well before Pablo was even in AAA. I believe he went from double to the majors, I believe. Pablo's having a great year. Andrew McCutchen was just called up maybe a month ago to the Pirates, and I think he's doing fairly well, but his cards have seen a small pop since he's been called up, and it's about time. I think he was ready for it. He was leading the AAA or the AA, one of those two, in hitting. So we've had some success. We'll see if Austin Jackson and Michael Taylor can continue that. But after this very short break, we will be talking about a couple of card shows that are hitting the summer waves. Hopefully you will be able to be there, and we'll talk about them after this. Another rundown of the sports card conventions and shows that will be hitting the summer locations. If you have time or you're in the area, I strongly recommend you going to them. The first one is the biggest of the year and is often referred to as the National. It's the 30th National Sports Collectors Convention. It's July 29th through August 2nd at the International Exposition Center, and that's in Cleveland, Ohio. General admission, so if you just show up and want to walk around the grounds, it's $15 daily. I believe that's an advance ticket, and you can get a week-long VIP package, so if you're in the area or you plan on traveling that way, $119. It's really not too bad, even if you're not looking to go buy anything. It's pretty cool. You'll see tons of really awesome cards that you only see on eBay. You actually get to see those in person, and you may find some online retailers, or better yet, even some card shops, or, you know, some distributors in your area that maybe you can get in touch with, start getting some cards from them. But lots of cool stuff at this show. Obviously, autographs. If you're an autograph collector, these are sometimes the best ways to get guaranteed authentic autographs, because you're going to be standing there right in front of the player as they sign whatever you have for them. Tom Seaver, Joe Montana, Troy Aikman, Barry Sanders, among others, going to be at this show. For more information, you can go to www.nsccshow.com. That's nsccshow.com. You'll be able to find all the information. It's in Cleveland, so if you're in the Ohio area or surrounding states, you'll make sure you want to check that out. One interesting note is Rich Franklin, one of the UFC's biggest stars, and I believe he's from the Cleveland or the Ohio area, or at least he does some charity work in that area. He's going to be signing free autographs. So obviously you've got to pay to get in the door, but that's well worth it. Like I said, whether you're buying something or not, it's well worth it just to kind of walk around and see all the cool stuff. July 31st from 3:30 to 5:30, he'll be signing for free. And on August 1st, 10 to noon, Rich Franklin, one of the UFC's biggest stars, and I believe he just won maybe a month ago on a UFC card. So looks like he's fighting well. Another show just a little east of Ohio. It's the first annual Fans Edge Sports Spectacular. Fans Edge lets us throw links up on our site. And if anybody decides to click through there and buy something, they hook us up a little bit. So Fans Edge is a place I've actually shopped before. It's pretty cool. They offer lots of good sports, like jerseys and hats and things, and they price it fairly competitively. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, head on over to sportscardradio.com and you'll be able to find their links throughout our site. July 16th through the 19th, again, is the Fans Edge Sports Spectacular. It's at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center. And that's in Rosemont, Illinois. So Illinois is a great state. I've visited Chicago and some of the surrounding areas. What a beautiful state. I always tell people about Chicago. I don't know if it's true. I've only spent maybe a day or two there, but it's a huge city. Obviously, Chicago is a ginormous city. They have two professional baseball teams, and I was lucky enough to go to Wrigley Field and watch a game there. It was actually the year Sammy Sosa was hitting all those home runs with Mark McGwire, and he would have hit two that day if it wasn't so windy. The wind was blowing in, I remember. But beautiful, beautiful state. And the thing that I tell everybody about Chicago, what I remember the most, it's a huge city, but it doesn't feel like it. You know, you drive, I know going to Los Angeles quite a bit, and even San Francisco to a certain extent. Those are two huge cities. Los Angeles definitely on a much grander scale than even San Francisco and Chicago, but those cities feel big, especially Los Angeles. When you're in Los Angeles, you feel smaller than lint on the ground. I mean, it is just a mammoth city, but Chicago didn't feel like that. Felt like you were just kind of in a city of maybe only a few hundred thousand, kind of like Sacramento. Sacramento's a little bit like that, which is up a little north. It's a big city. It's the capital of our state, but it's really not that big compared to a lot of the other places here in California. But off that tangent, some great autographs at this show. Peyton Manning, Willie Mays, Cal Ripken Jr., Bill Russell, Pete Rose, and more. Tons of great players going to be signing here. I'm sure you can visit Fans Edge, but you can also visit MountedMemoriesShows.com for more information if you're in the Rosemont, Illinois area. Again, that's July 16th through the 19th. Tons of good autographs. Bring your wallet, bring your American Express Black Card, and you'll be able to scoop those all up and tell me how it goes. But after this very short break, we will be talking about allocated product and what it really means to you after this. Quick note again about the sports card shows in your area. If you're not in the Cleveland area for this year's Nationals, 2010 is going to be at the Baltimore Convention Center, and that's going to be August 4th through the 8th. So that's next year. If you're in that area or plan on being in that area during those dates, you'll want to try to check it out in 2010. That's just a quick note about that. This segment's all going to be about allocated product. Now, obviously, I don't have a lot written down here, actually nothing. This is a subject that's not talked about a whole bunch unless you're kind of buying basically as a sports car dealer. So I'll just kind of go off a little bit of what I know and what it really means to you, kind of the end consumer and the collector. The person that really drives the whole business is people like you, people that buy cards to collect them and to hold on to them and things like that. So what does it all mean to you? First of all, allocated product, if you don't really know what that is, allocated means giving a portion of something to, you know, basically to the consumer. And basically Tops and Upper Deck, whether you buy from them or you buy from a distributor, it really goes the same way. But it means that if I go to a distributor, normally under most cases you can buy anything within the past year, sometimes 2 to 3 years depending on how good they are. You can buy just about any product, any quantity. Obviously, to a certain extent, there's not thousands and thousands of boxes of this just laying around everywhere. But for the most part, you can get as much as you need to sell to your customers, depending on the demand. Now, that changes every once in a while for allocated product. And allocated product is probably better known as the big time products, the great products, SB Authentic Football, Donruss Elite Baseball, the Exquisites and the Ultimate Collections, kind of the higher end stuff, but not necessarily. Occasionally, like a Topps Allen and Ginter is sometimes allocated. SP Legendary Cuts Baseball, sometimes allocated, not always. It just kind of depends. Obviously, we know the reasons why some products cost more than others. It's rookie class, it's signatures, it's popularity of the set. All that kind of goes and plays into allocation. But what probably plays with it the most is how much of that product is going to be available. So if it's kind of a short-run product, like an Ultimate Collection, SB Authentic Football to a certain extent, it's going to be allocated. So what that means is if I normally buy 2 cases of every baseball product that comes out through the year, more than likely, I'm not going to be able to buy more than 2 cases of that allocated product. Let's just take SP Authentic Football, for example. I normally order 2 cases of every Upper Deck product, and then all of a sudden, SP Authentic Football comes out. I know I can sell this on eBay. I can sell it to my customers. I can pack it out. I can hold on to it and sell it a year later, probably for a decent price as well. I want to get 4 cases. Well, I'm not going to be able to do that because I'm only allocated a certain amount. Occasionally, it's a strict limit, 1 to 2 cases, or even down to the box every once in a while. Or it's based on how much you've ordered throughout the year. Usually, it's one of those two things or a little bit of a combination of both. Just kind of depends. Some distributors do different things where if you buy a case of this somewhat lower-end product, we'll allocate you an extra case of this better product that we know you're going to be able to sell for a good profit. So that's kind of how it goes. What that means to you is that the allocation product of those product probably then goes down to the hobby level. So the best customers, the people that come into your store every day or every other day and buy packs and buy boxes no matter what it is, and trust me, there's plenty of, every sports card dealer has at least one, hopefully has one or two of these customers. These guys pay your rent. These guys pay your bills. These guys let you eat at the end of the day. So if I'm only getting 12 boxes of SB Authentic Football and this guy busts 12 boxes of MVP Baseball, you know he's going to want to bust a couple boxes of SB Authentic. He's probably going to want to bust at least 3 or 4 boxes. So you're going to allocate it to him because he pays your bills. He does you right. He's, you know, he allows you to eat steak and filet mignon instead of TV dinners. So you're going to allocate some to him. That means you only got 9 boxes left for the rest of your store. It will go down the line at that point. So maybe at the end, if you're only somebody that comes in once or twice a month, he might be sold out at that point or might only have 1 box and he's pricing it way over full retail because he's only got 2 boxes left. He knows they're going to sell anyways, so he might as well sell it at double or triple the profit. That happens quite a bit. It varies, obviously, store to store. Some of the bigger stores might have a certain price point or a certain margin they're looking to reach, and they just kind of sell everything at that margin. And stuff that sits on the shelf, sits on the shelf, and stuff that moves. Just kind of depends store to store, but more often than not, store owner close relationships with their big time buyers, and if they're only allocated a small amount, they're going to go to them first and let them know that information, or let them know that they're only going to get a certain amount of this product. Now, obviously, you can get around this as a sports car dealer by going through multiple sources, and hopefully your dealer, or you know, if you're even interested in opening a sports car store, that's what you have to do. You have to have multiple sources, and so you can get this hot product in larger quantities. So if you're normal ordering maybe a half case and you want a full case of this, somebody may not be able to sell you that half case, so you might only get two boxes there, maybe two somewhere else. So you'll be able to put together that half case or full case so you can make some decent money. So that basically how it goes. It drives up pack prices considerably because there's less on the shelf to open. This stuff gets busted open very quickly. Allocated product is always very hot and tends to get busted open very quickly because there's nice cards in there. People want to get them open, flip them on eBay, or just have them for their collections or for trade bait and things of that nature. So that's basically what it means to you. Ways to find out allocated product is visiting distributors' websites or delving into the hobby just a little bit more, or even having a little bit closer relationship with your sports car dealer. You can find out, hey, is this product allocated? Is it, you know, is it going to be on the short run? These are things you can also get on the sell sheets. Normally on you know, the Topps and Donruss and Upper Deck websites, they'll have sell sheets that they send to sports car dealers and people like that. So you want to take a look at those, and they tend to make note if it's going to be an allocated product or if it's going to be like a limited production kind of product. So these kind of things sneak up. I know 2009 Topps Series 1 and Series 2 baseball, normally not an allocated product, was allocated, and that's why you saw prices jump considerably, especially in Series 1 and also Series 2, because there were shortages. People normally tended to be able to order as much of the, it seemed like the supply was endless on a product like this, but not so this year. So you saw prices go up, and you might see manufacturers toy with their production levels a little bit more based on the success of that product. Obviously, Topps did well with it. How well they did with it opposed to years past, I'm not really sure, but it was a strong product in terms of its checklist and things like that. So those kind of things happen a lot. Those are the kind of things that do drive up box prices, aside from the rookie classes and things like that. Obviously, when you strip away all the sports and all that away from it, it comes down to a supply and a demand issue. And it's like anything with a price, from bubble gum to trading cards. It's all based on supply and demand. So when the supply is low and the demand is high, obviously prices tend to go up because of all the things that happen during the selling chain and things like that. So those are things you want to keep in mind for allocated product. Know which products are allocated or traditionally allocated, and knowing when to buy them, normally early, is usually the safe bet with those. You'll get a good price, and you won't get burned if you buy it a month or 2 months or even a year later when the price is quite a bit higher because there's no boxes left or there's very few. So that about wraps it up for this segment. When we come back, we will be talking about Larry Bird and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, some of my favorite players, one of my favorite players to watch compete against, and another player I absolutely adored and really, really care about even to this day. We'll talk about them after this.
Touched sheets of clay.
we are back to talk about two absolutely fantastic legends in the NBA. One, like I said, one of the best competitors, someone who I didn't really like, but respected quite a bit, Larry Bird. The only reason why I didn't like him was because he was on the Celtics, and the Celtics took it to the Lakers a few times in the 80s when I was young, and I didn't understand too much other than the Lakers either won or they lost, and if they won, it was great. If they lost, it was horrible. And one of the players that I remember very much from a young age is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. How tall he was and how he was bald and he wore these goggles. I thought he was like the coolest guy. Even to this day, I think Kareem is awesome, and I'm glad he's working with the Lakers and he has a position with them, because I think he brings a lot in terms of his mental, you know, the way he approached the game mentally. I think there was probably not too much people better than him. And obviously, he could put the ball in the basket. There's been lots of people as tall as him. There's been plenty of people much more talented than he was, and more athletically gifted than he was. But he has scored more points than anybody, more than Michael Jordan, more than Wilt Chamberlain. He is the all-time NBA scoring leader, and will probably have that record until possibly LeBron or maybe Kobe, if Kobe stays healthy. But it also gives testament to how well Kareem took care of himself, because he was able to play 20 plus years in the NBA, which doesn't even happen too much these days. His and Larry Bird's card prices are somewhat similar. I mean, you can scoop a fairly nice autographs in the $50 range, not too much cheaper than that. $50 to $60 range will get you a fairly nice autograph piece of both of theirs. And they obviously go up from there. Although Larry Bird has a much higher ceiling, you'll see pieces go for hundreds or maybe even 200 for Larry Bird, where you won't see that with Kareem. So the ceiling's a little bit higher, Larry, only because, you know, Kareem was one of many great players on the Lakers, and Larry Bird was also one of many great players on the Celtics, but he stands out as the face of basically the entire franchise, whereas Kareem's right there along with Magic and Kobe and Shaq and Wilt Chamberlain and Jerry West. I mean, the list goes on and on with the Lakers. So even though he's the all-time NBA scoring leader and brought numerous championships to the Los Angeles Lakers, you tend to see Larry Bird's prices be a little bit higher. Larry Bird was a unique talent and extremely good. Some of their vintage stuff goes for a lot, especially if it's graded. Fairly decent prices on some of Larry Bird's stuff. You know, it's not a bad investment. I would just go for the autograph, I think, because these two guys, again, they're not playing. Their stock isn't going to go down too much. So we'll see what happens. But I consider them both right up there with Magic Johnson and some of the other greats that played in the 80s. Michael Jordan, obviously. Those are fairly safe investments at these points, because these guys aren't playing. Their records are still going to be tough to break. Their championships, we see how hard it is to win championships, especially if you're not on the Lakers. It's tough to win a title, or it's tough to even go. So I guess if you're not on the Lakers or the Spurs, the last 10 to 15 years, you really haven't won a whole lot. So we'll see what happens there, but I like both of those players. Two of my favorite players of all time, especially Kareem. Just really, really respect that guy. So hopefully more Lakers and more NBA players will follow in their footsteps. That about wraps it up for today. Hopefully the quality's a little bit better. Different mic. I have it propped up. We don't have a mic stand. That's how we do here at the Sports Card Show. Got it propped up on these biology books and on a chair. So hopefully that helps a little bit until I get this other computer 100% fixed, which I hope here very shortly. I could do it illegally, but considering I invest in Microsoft stock, not going to do that to a company that I have a financial stake in. Although the market, you got to be real careful. Just as a total side point, be very careful if you trade stocks or have a portfolio. Be careful with it. If you have some gains, that you want to lock in or don't want to see go down much further, contact somebody, your professional, your financial advisor, somebody with a more valid opinion than mine. But my opinion is you got to be real careful, especially in the next week to 2 weeks. You want to be very careful with anything that you're holding on a long-term position, because the market's in a fairly indecision place, so it could go up or it could go down. Nobody knows for sure, but things are pointing for it to go back down, and it could go back down considerably, so you just want to keep that in mind. Obviously, if you're kind of like me, you don't really care week to week, month to month. You're kind of looking to ride all that out. That should only be a small portion of your portfolio. You should have things that you're looking to move in and out. It goes hand in hand with cards. A lot of the things I talk about with cards, you should have a certain stash of your cards that you're not selling for whatever given reason, whether you want to pass them down or you don't care what money you get. Either you got it from the player himself or it's just a special card for one reason or another. And that's great. If that's a good portion of your collection, that's great. But at least a small percentage or a decent percentage should be something you're looking to move. Should be, you don't want to end up with a box and boxes and boxes of cards that were worth something. It'd be much better to sell them when they were worth something. So then you could buy something that is either has a little bit more future value or is could go into that box that you want to keep for sure, and you definitely don't want to sell things like Larry Bird autographs, things like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar autographs, things like Magic Johnson, Joe Montana. I mean, I have those kind of things, and I could sell them, yes. Has there been times when I've needed the money or the $100 or whatever it might be to sell that? Yes, there's been times when I've definitely needed the money, but because it has a certain amount of sentimental value, you don't want to sell it. And to me, that's what you want your collection to be all about. And if you could have 5,000 cards like that, you'd have an unbelievable collection. So try to weed out the junk. Try to weed out the things that you could maybe sell for a small gain or something that you don't really care to have. Those are the kind of things you want to weed out and upgrade to some good things. Same thing with stocks. Have some things you're kind of moving in and out of. There's lots of things that move on big swings, things like gold prices, oil prices. If you learn to buy those on swings, and it's not too hard to develop techniques to where you can kind of predict whether it's a bottom or a top, and do those kind of things. But also find those companies that are growing or emerging and will become superstars. Exact same thing as sports cards. Very similar. So if you're a little bit older, but also our younger listeners, save some money for a rainy day. I've been unemployed since August, and if I didn't save money, I don't know what. I'd be living at home for sure right now. So those are some tips for you. Hopefully they help. Hopefully you've enjoyed the show. We will have another one brought to you shortly. Lots of cool stuff in the works. I'll wait to announce those as they become apparent, but got some emails and some phone calls and things flowing back and forth. And the way business works, sometimes those things take maybe a few weeks or sometimes longer to shake out, but some exciting things in the works, and I'll keep you abreast of those as they develop. Until then, enjoy your week or weekend. Happy 4th of July. Just this last few days, and hopefully you're staying cool in this summer heat, at least out here in California. I will talk to you all later.